Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Okay. James chapter 5 verse 16, where it says,
confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. It is so good and wonderful to be back with you all. We've been having for a couple of weeks now some problems with Block Talk, where we would come beyond on one day, not the next day. And I'm praying for them to get the system working properly, that we be back on 4 days a week. Amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Amen. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. A prayer to bless your heart. A prayer of the backslider. In Jeremiah 14, 7 through 7 and 9 says, although our sins testify against us, O Lord, do something for the sake of your name, for your backsliding is, for our backsliding is great. We have sinned against you. You are among us, O Lord, and we bear your name. Do not forsake us. Amen. Praise God. In Hosea 14 and 2 says, bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word. Amen. Praise God. So at this time, I will play a selection. And I want to wish everyone a happy and blessed Sabbath and a great and wonderful weekend. Praise be to God. It's Friday, y'all. And at this time, I'm going to play a selection. And I do hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. To God be the glory.
The clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you.
Share this one-minute inspiration for women, and this is for all women. Second fiddle. An interviewer asks famed conductor Leonard Bernstein, what's the most difficult instrument to play? Good naturedly, he replied, second fiddle. He added, and if no one plays second, there's no harmony. We need to be more than willing to be God's servant. We need to reveal in the opportunities he gives us to serve. Do you have someone you work with, serve with, shoulder to shoulder? A woman you help as she serves the Lord. The Apostle Paul said of Timothy in Philippians 2 in verses 19 through 20, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. I pray that you'll spend time with a mentor in ministry and in prayer and Bible study. I encourage you to mature in your usefulness. Be content, play second fiddle. Amen? Praise God, let us pray. Jesus, you were so humbled and willing to serve. We want to follow your example. Keep us from being caught up in wanting to be in charge of everything. Help us look for places to serve and uplift others. In your name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, God. So at this time, I will play another selection, All to the Glory of God. Praise his holy name.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. All to the glory of God. Everything belongs to him. In the fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. We pray his holy. As far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on the thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds. Restore our souls anew. All to the glory
Praise be to God. All to the glory of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see another day, for keeping us safe throughout the night. We give you praise. We pray that you would encamp your angels around us and our loved ones today and keep us safe from harm. May you continue to heal us, mend our broken hearts, and bring peace and safety to all those experiencing storms in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God, praise God. Here's some grace for today. Get the most from your faith. In Matthew 13 and 12 says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Amen. Unfortunately, some people have never been inspired to walk intimately with the Lord. As a result of this, their faith is weak and their discipleship is ineffectual. The world needs discipline, Christians, to affirm and proclaim the teachings of Jesus, particularly his command in John 13 and 34 says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. The discipline that is needed to live a life of Christian love demands a strength that can only come from the Holy Spirit. Amen? This is nurtured through prayer, Bible study, and a hunger for a more profound experience with God. Amen. Let us pray. We plead with you, O Jesus, for the gift of your Holy Spirit, so that our faith can be fully experienced. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is grace for today. So again, at this time, I will play another selection because our God is awesome. And after the selection, I will come back with our devotional message. Amen. Praise God. Oh, come on now.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. Great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
He heals me when I'm broken.
His strength. strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever he'll reign.
Come on, say my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice.
The whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Your voice is
message. which is entitled A Grander Work. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where it says, I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Do you realize that the Lord's vision for you has implications that impact his kingdom both on earth and in heaven? God's will for your life has ramifications, not only for you as an individual, but also for others. The scope of which you cannot possibly fathom, because they continue on into eternity. This is the reason the process you face after you accept Christ as your Savior is one of refinement and of transformation. God chips away at the rough edges of self-will and earthly bondage to reveal all he created you to be. He brings you to greater wholeness so that you might reflect him to others. This is why it is always so important that you cling to Jesus, regardless of the trials that arise, and yield yourself to his will, even when it's difficult. Your life matters to God and to those who will find him and grow in him through you. So do not resist what the Lord is doing. Realize there is a much bigger picture and take heart. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Jesus, for influencing other people in an external manner through us, we cling to you as you refined us, and we say yes to your good purposes. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection, Bread of Life. Praise God.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word. Say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. Of
all
the
things
are coming down.
You are the
living word. Awesome
ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentle.
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we
we like to call you Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
Fire we need, we get a little restless from the start.
prophecy.
In the ESV Bible says, he turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground. Praise be to God. God is good. He is in control. When our souls are dry, thus with living water, John 4:13-15, where it says, and 24 says, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. There are times when we have dry spots in life, in marriage, in work. However, during these times, it's important that we remember to turn to Jesus for the life-giving water that only he provides. If you're in a dry spot today, why not ask Jesus to refresh your soul and renew your heart? And as he fills your heart with fresh hope, take time to sit in his presence, to feel his peace, and to worship his name. When we quiet ourselves before God and worship him in spirit and in truth, the shower that washes over the soul is life-altering. Sometimes it's hard to be fully present during worship. Sometimes we have too many things on our mind. Or maybe we haven't been to church in years. The good news is you can worship anytime and anywhere. Remember, his well never runs dry. You got this. Praise be to God. Whether in times of drought or prosperity, you can always be refreshed with the living water. Jesus provides. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. He desires you to seek him and be filled with his love, his grace, and his mercy. Are you in a time of drought, joy, despair, or hope? No matter where you are, Jesus is with you. Seek him today and every day. You got this. Praise be to God. Amen. So at this time, I will play a little short selection.
Trying times in my life telling me I can't bend. If I fall, stand, here I am to proclaim my life worth more than diamonds and rubies and gold. It's alright if you try to put me to the test. My God is greater and can more than handle your mess. Quick stand, uh-oh, you thought I was lost, oh no. Just like in a millionaire, he threw me a lifeline, Danny. Pulled me from the darkest place, left me in the richest way. New life, new thought, new swag, I knew you wish you had. Took me out when you had the chance, but God redeemed me and he gave me a chance to unlock the gates of hell, your tactics can prevail. What my God had for me, supersede the enemy.
Beware. In Proverbs 12:2, in the CSB Bible says, the good obtains favor from the Lord, but he condemns a man who schemes. This world is God's creation, and it contains the wonderful fruits of his handiwork. But the world also contains countless opportunities to stray from God's will. Temptations are everywhere. And the devil, it seems, never take a day off. Our task as believers is to turn away from temptation and take place our lives squarely in the center of God's will. In his letter to the Jewish Christians, Peter offered a stern warning in 1 Peter 5:8 in the NASB Bible said, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. What was true in New Testament times is equally true in our own. Evil is indeed abroad in the world, and Satan continues to sow the seeds of destruction far and wide. As Christians, we must guard our hearts by earnestly wrapping ourselves in the protection of God's holy word. And when we do, we are protected. Where God's ministers are most successful, there the powers of darkness marshal their forces for the conflict. Don't condone what God condemns. We are in a continual battle with the spiritual forces of evil, but we will triumph when we yield to God's leading and call on his powerful presence in prayer. We actually are, at present, creatures whose character must be, in some respect, a horror to God. As it is, when we really see it, a horror to ourselves. This I believe to be a fact, and I notice that the holier a man is, the more fully he is aware of that fact. God judged it better to bring good out of evil than to suffer no evil to exist. Here's a thought. evil exists, and it exists someplace not too far from you. You must guard your steps and your heart accordingly. In James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 in the CSB Bible says, therefore, submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your heart, double-minded people. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16 says in the New King James Version, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, because you have given your children free will, the world is a place where evil threatens our lives and our souls. Protect us, Father, from the evils and temptations of this age, of difficult age. Help us to trust you, Father, and to obey your word, knowing that your ultimate victory over evil is both inedible and complete. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection, and after this selection, I will come, because every praise belongs to God. And tonight, we are going to give him that praise. Amen.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together, because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Hallelujah.
To our God.
To our God.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory,
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Let us pray. Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, which means God of my salvation, thank you for being not only a God who sits on high and not only a God with creative powers, but also a God who humbly comes down to each one of us, even to me, to save. By trusting in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, I have received eternal salvation. And by trusting in you, Jehovah Elohim Yeshua, in my daily life, I see you saving me from unnecessary pain, confusion, waste, and regret. You are the God who saves. Thank you for inviting me to call you by the name Jehovah Elohim Yeshua. Your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Colossians. That's the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and we are going to read verses 8 through 15. Amen? That's Colossians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, where it says, and I am reading from the New Living Translation, but you can read from any Bible that you are comfortable reading with. Amen. And it says, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. Verse 10. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For we were buried with Christ when we were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. Verse 13, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And verse 15 says, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Amen. Praise God. Before we believed in Christ, our nature was evil. We disobeyed, rebelled, and ignored God, even at our best. We did not love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. The Christian, however, has a new nature. God has crucified the old rebellious nature in Romans 6 and 6 and replaced it with a new loving nature, Colossians 3, 9 and 10. The penalty of sin died with Christ on the cross. God has declared us not guilty. We need no longer live under sin's power. God does not take us out of the world or make us robots. We will still feel like sinning, and sometimes we will sin. The difference is that before we were saved, we were slaves to our sinful nature. But now we are free to live for Christ. Amen. Galatians 2 and 20. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, I thank you for your only begotten Son who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. And Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. And Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive their purpose in your holy will. And Father God, I pray for those who are sick and shut in, may be healed. Father God, I pray for those that are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. And Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. And Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Colossians includes three great teachings. The incarnation of Jesus Christ. He was a real human being of flesh and blood and bones and not an apparition, as some of the false teachers said. Jesus was and is God in all that God is and not just an intermediary being as others have taught the Colossians. The high water, praise God, mark of the new is this. In Colossians 2:9, in the NIV says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. The supremacy of Jesus Christ. He is supreme in creation and over all created beings. In Colossians 1:15-16, he is supreme in the church, 1:18. And he is supreme over all principalities and powers, 2:10-15. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ and its meaning. These heretical teachings had attacked the Christian teaching of redemption through Christ's death in two ways. One, Christ did not have an actual physical body. Some of them said he only appeared to have one. Therefore, they maintained that the crucifixion was not an actual event, but only a non-historical partition. Number two, others among these heretics said Christ had a real physical body, but he was not God's son. Hence, they contended the crucifixion, though a historical event, had no saving power. Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians largely to refute these views. Thus, the teaching about the crucifixion is the main thrust of his letter. The heart of the Christian religion is this. We are redeemed. In Colossians 1:20 in the NIV says, through his blood shed on the cross, through the death of his son, God has triumphed over sin and death and the devil. Tonight's scripture reading presents a fact and the implications of that fact. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13-15, and the NIV Bible says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Praise be to God. My title for this message, Triumph of the cross, the triumph of the cross. Praise be to God. Tonight, my message is divided into two parts. The first part is the fact is this, the triumph of the cross. Notice the phrases Paul stacks one after another to emphasize the triumph of the cross. In Colossians 2:13-15, in the NIV, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Praise be to God. The triumph of the cross is a historical fact that Christ died an actual death on the cross. Cannot be disputed. In Colossians 1:20, in the NIV says his blood shed on the cross was an actual witness historical event. John 19:34, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. 1 Corinthians 15:3 in the NIV. The triumph of the cross is a theological fact. In his first letter, John tells us the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sins, John 1:7 in the NIV. Consider Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with the shadows of the cross looming in front of him. What did he do with it? He laid hold of it. He made it an instrument of redemption, offering himself as a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world, of the whole world. Praise God. The triumph of the cross is a spiritual and personal fact. In Colossians 2:13, and the NIV says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. The triumph of the cross becomes a personal victory in our lives when by faith in Christ we accept what he has done for us on that cross. Amen. Hallelujah. Now the scope. The vast reaches of the cross, of the triumph of the cross. I'll say that again. The vast reaches of the triumph of the cross. The triumph of the cross has both a legal and spiritual aspect. Colossians 2:14, the legal aspect of the triumph of the cross tells us penalty for our sins was the death sentence. That sentence has been taken from us, satisfied by another. canceled forever through the cross. Jesus has done three things about this sentence of death. Number one, he canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. Our debt is canceled, marked, paid like a canceled check, and we have peace with God. Number two, he took it away. It's gone. Thank you, God. That sentence is no longer over our heads. How could it be removed from us? The perfect law of God must be sanctified. Nothing can thaw it, escape it, or rewrite it. Number three, nailing it to the cross. What does that mean? It was customary for the Romans to nail a sign with condemned man's crime on the cross just above his head. On the sign over Jesus' head, Pilate had written in John 19:19 in the NIV, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. But that was not the real indictment. Had Pilate known, he could have written, crucified for the sins of humankind. Praise be to God. The spiritual aspect of the triumph of the cross. Listen to Paul in Colossians 2:10 in the NIV says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. What appears to be God's defeat and the triumph of the powers of darkness proved instead to be God's triumph and the doom of Satan and sin. The cross was God's field of victory, the implement of his triumph. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. So you see, there is a philosophy which rightly exercises our reasonable faculties, a study of the works of God, which leads us to the knowledge of God and confirms our faith in him. But there is a philosophy which is vain and deceitful, and while it pleases men's fancies, hinders their faith. Such are curious speculations about things above us, or no concern to us. Those who walk in the way of the world are turned from following Christ. We have in him the substance of all the shadows of the ceremonial law. All the defects of it are made up in the gospel of Christ. By his complete sacrifice for sin and by the revelation of the will of God to be complete, is to be furnished with all things necessary for salvation. By this one word, complete, is shown that we have in Christ whatever is required in him, not when we look to Christ as though he were distant from us, but we are in him, when by the power of the Spirit. We have faith wrote in our hearts by the Spirit, and we are united to our head. The circumcision of the heart, the crucifixion of the flesh, and the death and burial to sin and to the world, and the resurrection to newness of life set forth in baptism. And by faith wrote in our hearts, prove that our sins are forgiven and that we are fully delivered from the curse of the law. Through Christ, we were dead in sin, a quickening. Death was the death of our sins. Christ's resurrection is the quickening of our souls. The law of ordinance, which was a yoke to the Jews and a partition wall to the Gentiles, the Lord Jesus took out of the way. When the substance was come, the shadows fled. Since every mortal man is, through the handwriting of the law, guilty of death. How very dreadful is the condition of the ungodly and unholy who trample under the foot that blood of the Son of God, whereby alone this deadly handwriting can be blotted out. Let not any be troubled about bigot judgment, which relates to meats or the Jewish solemnities, setting apart a portion of our time for the worship and service of God is a moral and unchanging duty, but had no necessary dependency upon the seventh day of the week, the Sabbath of the Jews, the first day of the week, or the Lord's Day, time to keep holy by Christians in remembrance of Christ's resurrection. All the Jewish rites were shadows of gospel blessing. Praise be to God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to leave with you this thought. In closing, let's sell this question. What is or what should be the significance of the triumph of the cross in our own personal life? Death to sin. In Romans 6:2 in the NIV says, we are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Life in Christ. We ought to say and think and do those things worthy of a life redeemed by Christ's blood. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host does flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Again, the title of this message was or is the triumph of the cross. And my brothers and sisters, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next week, but now my brothers and sisters. And all you have to do if you want to be saved is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And what you need to do is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. One that practices what's in the Bible. Amen? And I'd like to leave you with these words from Jude 24 and 25, where it does say, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you until we meet again next week, Tuesday at 6 p.m., when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So, again, if you would like to join us, our call-in number is 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath. Have a wonderful weekend and stay safe, my brothers and sisters. We love you and we thank you for tuning in, because that is the main reason why we are here, is to pray one for another. Amen. Good night, everyone, and God bless. Mm-hmm.